everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday edition of the Saints Happy Hour podcast, your destination for Saints stupidity and sincerity. Andrew, Wednesday, we're brought to you by SeatGeek. It's made free because of our friends there. Go to SeatGeek, download their app. They have the best app. They scour the whole secondary ticket market for the best prices. Their app, it's a green light, it means it's a good deal. If it's a yellow light, it means it's an okay deal. If it's a red light, don't do it. Use the code ACAA today and you get $20 off your first purchase. That can be a beer, that can be a hat, that can be a pendant for your kid. Go to the SeatGeek app, use the code ACAA to get $20 off now. SeatGeek, life's an event. We have the tickets. All right, Andrew, we're going to continue our list of top 10 most valuable / best players on the Saints 2019 roster. So we're up to number 5, and number 5 on my list is, oh, please, it is Drew Brees.
Wow.
Yeah, I put him that low, and I think it's the opposite of what we talked about yesterday, where DeMario Davis, we didn't know how to rate him because we hadn't seen good linebacker play in so long. I think I might be having Brees a little too low in a sense of we're so used to the good quarterbacking play, we don't appreciate all the little nuances of how great he is, and when he's gone, we'll realize it. But I put him here just because I feel like with Bridgewater, it decreases his value on the right roster significantly, and that it's not a end-of-the-world apocalypse scenario if he had to miss 3 weeks. Whereas before Teddy Bridgewater, it was always like, man, if Brees has to miss a month, the Saints are fucked. And yeah, they're not completely fucked anymore. But I will be honest and say
it's not even just Bridgewater. It's the combination of Bridgewater and Taysom Hill, right?
Yeah.
No, I hear you. And I think that's a strong argument for him. I think our top five is the same. It's in a different order, but we have the same five players.
And go ahead.
Yeah, my guy's Lattimore. I think he's the fifth best player on the roster right now. And I maybe would have had him higher last year. I thought he was dressed a little bit this past year, but I think he showed in the playoff game just how good he can be. The main thing I'm looking at a Lattimore, and I would move him up this list if I felt like he did this. The main thing I'm looking at of him is I want to see him start to own kind of the off season and the fitness and the nutrition. That's I think what makes a difference when you see Michael Thomas doing hand yoga and you see Alvin Kamara doing balance on a ball, for his core stability while catching these color-coded things, in real time. Those are the things you see. And I'm not saying that Lattimore is not doing those things, but I just think, you talk about how he hasn't really been great at practice. And he says, yeah, I'm not much of a practice guy. I get it done on the field. That's when it matters. I just sense that, and when I look at the guys I have in my top four, I think talent-wise he's as good, if not better, than some of the other guys I have in the top four. But one thing that you can unquestionably say about the guys I have in my top four is they all own it off the field and in practice.
Yeah, and the one thing I will say about Lattimore is I think he can get there with the dedication and fitness because we've seen it. The reason why he dropped in the draft was his hamstring was a huge, giant red flag, and he had to have surgery on it. But he said, look, my hamstring is okay because Ohio State, we did the surgery, and they got me on a proper stretching regimen that I feel confident that it's going to be okay. And look, it has been since then. So I think he has the experience of knowing what he has to do fitness-wise hamstring.
Let me be clear. So, I'm not calling him lazy. I mean, everyone at this level puts in a significant amount of work. So I'm not saying that he's lazy or that he has poor habits. I'm just saying when I look at the four guys on this list, they're not only elite talents. And in fact, I wouldn't necessarily say Michael Thomas is an elite talent off the field. I just think he works harder than everyone else, and therefore he's elite because of the work that he puts in. But, you know, and I would maybe say the same thing about Breeze, too.
Yeah, Breeze. People that work hard look at Breeze and they're like, Breeze is ridiculous. Like,
Look at, you know, the body change of, like, Cam Jordan and Breeze over the years, like, if you look at, you know, when they first joined the Saints versus what their bodies look like now, I mean, you can just tell they've transformed themselves. I think Lattimore could shed a little weight. He looks a little heavy to me.
Yeah. To me, the next guy on my list, I had him at 2, and I bumped him down to 4, but it was really hard. And that's Alvin Kamara. I had him at 4. I originally put him at 2 because
you got Lattimore high.
Yeah, I do. I felt like, man, if they lose Kamara, the offense changes. I feel like he has brought something to the Saints offense that is just dynamic. And look, you know, it seems so long ago because of the NFC Championship in Minnesota and all that. But, you know, in 2017, man, he looked amazing in the preseason, but the Saints still had Adrian Peterson, and they were still trying to fit that in. And then they were like, you know, after the third week against Carolina, they looked – Kamara scored his first touchdown. They looked amazing. And then they went to Europe – they went to London, and they shipped Peterson out after that. They were like, we have to get Kamara on the field, and Adrian, we're sorry, buddy. We had all these plans for you, but it's just not working out. We're sending you to Arizona because Kamara's got to play, and it cannot be a timeshare. It needs to be a timeshare between him and Ingram, not the three of you guys. Sorry, buddy. Like, it happened that quick with him, and I think we forget about that. And he's just an uncoverable nightmare. And again, you know, the NFC Championship game, Breeze, it was, where's Michael Thomas? Where's Kamara? I mean, they had the drive in the second half where it was just Kamara, 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 Kamara. They feed him.
Yeah.
I mean, it's him and Thomas. And it's almost, I feel like their offense, it used to be very strong in that as long as Breeze was there, it didn't matter. It was going to be fine. I feel like their offense now is more fragile, and it's sort of like Jenga, where, like, if you pull Thomas or Kamara out, Lord help us.
Yeah, I've got Michael Thomas at 4. And, you know, once you get in the top 4, I feel like any of these guys could be number 1. But I got Thomas at 4 for now. I mean, you know, it's funny. We talk about Gronkowski and what he's done to extend Brady's career. And, you know, I think you were the one that said you take away Gronk from Brady, and Brady
he's
turns into Joe Flacco.
Yeah,
that's statistically, that's an accurate statement. So, you know, in the games where Gronk hasn't been there, Brady's been putting up Flacco-type numbers, which it sounds like an insult, but Flacco is like kind of a pretty solid middle-of-the-road quarterback in the NFL. Like, he's still a quality starter. He's not Tom Brady without Gronk. And so I kind of feel like when you look at Breeze and you look at his efficiency and you look at how 80% of his plus of his targets to Thomas are resulting in positive plays, I mean, I think you take Michael Thomas has allowed Drew Breeze to stay Drew Breeze. I think you take away Michael Thomas from Drew Brees, and it turns Drew Brees into Joe Flacco. So I think it's a similar situation. So, I mean, that would, in some ways, be an argument to put him number 1. But I think, you know, the one thing I would say I'm looking for from Michael Thomas, I mean, I think, you know, his usage has kind of forced a lot of underneath stuff. And, you know, his average yards per catch, I mean, the volume was just so high that at 11.2, that was the shortest amount of, you know, just average yards per catch that he's had in his career. So, you know, he's not really a big play type of guy, but I would like to see more out of him this year, and I would like to see double-digit touchdowns.
Yeah, touchdowns are a weird thing, and they say this in fantasy too. They're like, just because a guy has a huge touchdown, your touchdowns are the one thing that fluctuates between running backs and wide receivers that you can never predict. So I don't think it's like, just because he hasn't done it yet, I don't think it's out of the question that he could have a random 16 touchdown year. My 3 was Lattimore. And here's the reason I just think we had a podcast where we were discussing things and Dave made this point about the secondary, and I just took it to heart. It's, man, you look at the Saints defense before Lattimore arrived, and it was trash pile. And he transformed it immediately, and it was the running joke during 2017. You know, in the summer, people were saying how amazing all these rookies were going to be, and I was like, man, these draft picks, you got to wait on them, especially corner. Like, Lattimore is going to be good, but he's going to be bumpy his first year. Rookie corners, you can't just plug them in and be Pro Bowl level. And I was like, nope. Lattimore was like, I'm here, and I am fucking shutting people down day 1. And he's been that way. And I just think, man, if you pulled him out of that Saints defense, I know it's better and they have better talent than they had, you know, than they had going into 2017. They've really done a nice job. But, man, Andrew, he's vital, and they need him. If he can get to where you talked about him, because he was high previously on our list, you talked about it a little, but if he can get in shape and become dominant and get into that Darrell Revis-type tier
right.
of unbelievable corner,
right,
the,
right.
The Saints defense can be magical. If Lattimore can become an all-pro super corner and Davenport can get to an 8 to 10 sack guy, the Saints defense can be magical, and they could drag Drew Brees, even if he has some sort of wild, horrible decline, they could drag him to a title. I believe that firmly.
Yeah, that's like the Broncos did with Peyton Manning, yeah.
Yeah.
That's why
I put Lattimore 3.
I think Lattimore is Darrell Revis often, you know. So, it's a consistency thing. I look at the top four guys on my list,
yeah.
And I don't think they deviate too much. You know what you get from them, and it's always elite play. I think Marshawn Lattimore is mostly elite, and occasionally he's not. And so that's why I had him number 5 on this list. But I hear you. My number 3 is Drew Brees. And so, yeah, I mean, this is the first time – since I've been doing this list, which, you know, I started my blog in 2008. Every year, Drew Brees has always been number 1 when I did this, but this is the first year he's not. And I just think, you know, he's not a 5,000-yard passer anymore. And, you know, I think it's hard. Like, it's like you said, you know, I think if Drew Brees was – if you gave him a different name and he was a new quarterback for, let's say, even a different team that hadn't experienced what we experienced, right, and he was putting up the numbers that Brees was putting up, I think anyone would say, what are you talking about? This, he's number 1. You know, clearly he's amazing. So I think we're all seeing the decline. I think we're all seeing that he's maybe not the player he used to be. But I think you got to give Sean Payton and him a lot of credit, because I think they've become aware of what Brees can and can't do. And I think he's been able to age really well because his efficiency has gone up as his physical decline has presented itself. So he's still statistically, in terms of efficiency, passer rating, all that stuff, he's still producing at a really high level. And that speaks to his IQ and his understanding of what he can and can't do. So I was tempted to put him number 1. But ultimately, I put him at number 3 because, and it's kind of, again, it goes back to what you said. I think the Saints are more set up than they've ever been to have a change. If they're forced into a change at quarterback, that doesn't spell necessarily the end of the season for them.
And here's the thing, you know, here's the thing with the Saints in quarterback. Look, if they don't have Drew Brees for the, if they lost him for this year, I think they would be out of Super Bowl contention, right? I still believe that with Brees. But the thing is now, like, say Brees hurt his knee or whatever, and they were like, hey, Drew, you're going to miss October, or you're going to miss this month where we have this, you know, you're going to miss 3 weeks and you're going to have the bye and then you're going to come back, you know, and the Saints go into there and they're 6-1 or what, or 6-2 going into that, and they have to play Bridgewater for a month. They could still be okay and go 3-1 or 2-2 and be okay and still have a chance to be home field, still get in the playoffs and all that. Whereas before, they were totally screwed, and I think that bumped him down a little bit. Number 2 on my list, I had Michael Thomas, and I just think, man, he has become so good and so unstoppable. I mean, in the Philadelphia playoff game, he was amazing against the Rams. He was amazing. And it got to a point where teams knew he was going to get the ball, and it just didn't fucking matter. Like, the Saints with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, they know how to scheme him and get him the ball. And I just feel like he's so valuable in their passing game. I don't know. I think that Sean Payton could figure it out and it could be okay. But, you know, when 2017, like, we were bitching and complaining about third down because they went from number 1 to number 18, and it felt like it was a fucking disaster on third down when it was just really slightly below average. I think there's a potential that if Michael Thomas got hurt, that's what their passing game would be. It would fall from, like, top 3 to, like, 14, 15, and it would feel so fucking terrible. And that's why I put him 2.
I have Alvin Kamara, number 2. And, you know, let me say something. I don't know that Michael Thomas and where he is on the field has a tremendous impact. I mean, everything affects everything to some degree. But I don't think it has a tremendous impact on Alvin Kamara and what he sees from a defense. I think if you flip it, it's way more significant. Alvin Kamara, where he is on the field, what he's capable of, it affects everyone on the offense, all the playmakers. And how a defense plays him and tries to cover him opens up things for everyone else. So I really think the offense goes through Alvin Kamara first. I think when you add the fact that Mark Ingram is gone and they're going to be relying on him even more than ever, you look at his abilities as a runner, as a pass catcher, I would say that, you know, throwing a Kamara is almost even safer than throwing a Michael Thomas because, A, he's either out of the backfield and it's a short, easy throw, and you know that he can make it happen after the play because he breaks tackle so well. He's got great balance. He's got great speed. So you can throw a one-yard pass to him, and you know that he can still make something happen. Or he's lined up as a receiver, and it's against a safety or a linebacker, and he leaves him in the dust. And it's just – it's so safe throwing to Alvin Kamara. And I think that's – I would say that Alvin Kamara, from a passing standpoint, has maybe been even more supportive to Breeze aging gracefully than Thomas, potentially.
Yeah, and here I struggle with Kamara and Thomas. I went back and forth. But here's the thing that I want to talk to you about, and you can answer before we get to number one, and this is a potentially flaming hot take. With Ingram gone and Kamara going to get more touches, I can see a scenario, Andrew, where when we do this again next June, Kamara is number one because he just had a fucking monster season where he's always been great, right? And the Saints have always done – he's sort of the focus of the offense, and you just explained it. But the numbers have not – the numbers have been cool and great, but they've never been, like, overwhelmingly amazing besides, like, his yards per touch his rookie year, right? And his yards per rush, that was amazing. But the overall stats, like, he didn't have 1,000 yards and he didn't have 1,000 yards a season. I think this year, Andrew, he could have that monster year where he puts up huge stats and becomes like a fantasy god for maybe just 1 year, and next year he's number one on this list.
I think any of these guys could be, but I just think Kamara is the one guy to me. Now you got to be careful about his usage because it makes me nervous. Like, I don't want him to be Le'Veon Bell or Ezekiel Elliott where you're shortening his career with the number of hits he's taking. I like the number of snaps he gets right now, and you know, because he gets so many catches, a lot of times he can run out of bounds, and he can make plays without taking huge hits sometimes. So, I don't want to see his volume go up too much, if I'm being honest, because I want him to have a long career with the Saints. But, man, just anytime he's on the field, you have to account for him. And that's what makes me excited about a 32-year-old tight end like Jared Cook. It's not that he's necessarily amazing in his own right, but when you have Kamara and Thomas and the attention that they seek and that they force defenses to have on you, the opportunities that creates for a pretty skilled guy like Jared Cook is significant.
Yeah. So here's number one. And to me, if you think about it, it seems maybe obvious or whatever, but man, for this guy to ascend to the number one most valuable rankings on the Saints roster from where they drafted him in 2011 is kind of crazy. And it's Cam Jordan's the most valuable. And Andrew, he's just been a guy where it's just been slow, steady, 10-15% better every year. And he really broke out in 2017 to become sort of this all-world people where the rest of the league noticed how great he was. Because before 2017, it was always, Cam Jordan, he's a nice all-around player, and he'll get you 9 to 10 sacks. But in 2017, he added the batted passes and things like that. And I just look at the Saints defense, man. He's the heartbeat, the focal point of it. And as far as value, if he was gone, it would be bad. And, of course, the Saints just signed into the extension, so he's probably going to finish his career as a Saint, which is awesome. But it's Cam Jordan. For him to be number one in this roster, a few years ago it would have seemed insane, but now it's like, yeah, that makes sense.
I just think it's funny that you know what you get from him. You know, it's like it doesn't matter if it's the worst defense in NFL history or if like last year it's a top five type defense. Like, you know that Cam Jordan on his side at his position is going to be a double-digit sack guy. You know he's going to play 16 games. You know he's going to be elite against the run. He does that. And, you know, obviously the contract is well-deserved, and so I think the timing of saying that, hey, he's the number one guy on the roster, I think this is his team now. You know, and Brees is still obviously very vocal, very respected, and so but I just think on the field, like, Cam Jordan, and this is the torch is being passed to him. And I really feel like on the heels of this contract and the year he just had, again, this is starting to feel like Cam Jordan's team. And here's the thing. When I look at this top five list, and all five of these guys we agreed with, we just changed the order, but we both had Cam at number one. I think you go up and down this list. And Lattimore, we talked about maybe a little bit of consistency issues. Michael Thomas, the one hole in his game would be, I would say, you know, he's not a vertical guy, really. He can't really get deep on you. Brees, we've talked about the arm decline a little bit. He's not a guy that can push the ball down the field as much as he used to. And, you know, Kamara, I would say, is a pretty all-around player. But, you know, I would say if there's one thing, you know, I question is just on third and inches. You see, I actually think he's a pretty good short yardage back, but he's maybe not a ground and pound type. If you're talking about Cam Jordan, I cannot say a single – I cannot point to a single hole in his game. Like, regardless of the play call, it's third and 18, it's first and 10, it's first and 20, it's second and one. I don't care what the down and distance is. I don't care what his responsibility is. There's nothing where you can say, yeah, he's got a little hole in his game here, but otherwise he is going to be everywhere.
And here's the thing that you brought up him, and one of the two points. First of all, when they signed him to the original extension, one of my things is like why I loved it is like, what, one, it's a good value contract for the Saints. But I was like, second of all, being available, fans don't think of that as a skill, but in football, it is a skill. Like, Cam Jordan has only missed one game, and yeah, it's a little bit of luck, but it's also taking care of your body and all that. But and so I thought that was a great contract.
It's also figuring out how to keep your level when you're not playing at 100%.
Yeah, and that too, and he does that, and believe me, he's had some things where they're like, oh, he's got a badness thing, and he just powers through it. But you made a point about how he transformed his body and became a more flexible player, because even his first 3-4 years when he, you know, his first year he didn't do much, and then he started to progress and get 6 and 9 sacks. His first couple of years, even when he turned good, he was a different kind of player. He has a bend to his body now that he did not have when he was younger. And that is, I mean, look, I'm not a physical person, but that is him doing stretching and saying, I want to have that. And he created it. And that's sort of a thing that I think fans forget about and underrated. It's talked about in the draft where, oh, this guy has bend and this guy has this and that. Cam Jordan didn't have that, and he just was like, I'm gonna make myself have it. And he reshapes his body to do it, which is kind of amazing and underrated about him.
Yeah. No, he is a physical specimen, and he's had to work at that. You know, it's one of those things where that didn't necessarily come naturally. You look at a guy like maybe Javon Kearse, and some guys, you know, Javon Kearse, everyone always talked about how he was a freak and maybe he was built that way. Well, Cam Jordan was not, and he built himself into Javon Kearse, which is crazy. But, you know, he's better than Javon Kearse, in my opinion. But, yeah, so, again, I just kind of go back to, at this point, he's the most valuable player on the roster. He's the guy they need the most. He's the best player on the team. Number one for us is Cam Jordan.
Yeah, and then one thing I want for him is obviously you want the Saints to win the Super Bowl because they got screwed last year, and want this group of guys to win, as Dave says on the podcast a lot. But the one thing I individually like for Cam Jordan is, look, I know he's been steady and he's been awesome and he's always been the 9 to 12, 12 and a half, 13 sack guy. I would love for him to get more opportunities in this defense, become really good, and him bump up into that 16, 17, 18 sack range, Andrew, just 1 year, just so he can get more recognition and he can be in the conversation for defensive MVP and just have that one great year. You know, Pat Swilling did it a long time ago for the Saints where he was always like a double-digit sack guy, but the 1 year he had like 18 and he got the defensive MVP. I would love that for Cam Jordan this year. Just, you know, to have – his career, you know, we always say, well, that's a career year for Cam, but it in 2017, but it really kind of wasn't. So maybe 2019 can be his year where you look.
We need that Adrian Claiborne game for him, where like a couple tackles go down, and it's a third string UDFA guard. It's a third string UDFA guard that has to play right tackle. you know, in a pinch, and he's just lined up against Cam Jordan, and you know, the Saints are up 30 late in the game, and he gets like a sack, 5-sack binge game, and
yeah.
So, you know, his 12-sack season becomes 17.
Yeah, that's
what we need.
That's exactly what we need. That is a great way to end this podcast. But everybody, this episode is free because of SeatGeek, but if you want to listen to us every day, it's only $7 a month, and believe me, when July gets here and the Pelicans are done with free agency and you're totally locked into the Saints, you're going to want it. It's $7 a month, and you get a koozie and a magnet if you sign up today on Patreon. We'll get it shipped to you. Thanks, guys, and we will see you tomorrow.